Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
God is wisdom. He has all the wisdom. All wisdom comes from Him, and He's written it down as the Word of God, and this book is full of wisdom and the principles to lead our life. Then why wouldn't we pick up this book, find out what the principles are, and then begin to take steps? And then if we need help along the way, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Thank you for continuing to join us for Revive Radio. Let's get back into the message series, Leading in a Crisis. This message was taken from a recent Wednesday night Bible study here at Pace Assembly. Let's get back into the message with Pastor Rogers.
A double-minded man, somebody that's trying to do it over here, thinking with your own, I'm going to figure this out by myself, but oh yeah, God, I need you in a crisis. He said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Not just his financial or spiritual ways, but in all of his ways. You make foolish decisions out of that. Consider in Proverbs chapter 1, I'm moving quickly here tonight, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 down through 7, there are five pillars of wisdom found in that particular chapter. I'm going to give them to you real quick. Here we go. Number one of the pillars of wisdom is self-discipline. Self-discipline. You find that in Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 2, part B. Self-discipline. We talked a little bit about that this past week. The root word for discipline is disciple. It's critical for us to be self-disciplined in this hour. Just because you've got all the cookies that are in a package on the counter don't mean you need to eat them all at one time. Conserve. Come on, somebody. We're at a place right now where we've been so in our mind to just walk up and get whatever we want when we want it, and now we're in this crisis where we've got to limit what we even get. I mean, in stores now, they're concerned about the food. The trucks coming and bringing more food, but you know, in the very beginning of this, bread was off the shelf, no toilet paper, all those kind of stuff going on. Ladies and gentlemen, self-discipline is one of the pillars of wisdom. Second, understanding. Understanding. We're going to talk about that more in a moment. Number three, wise relationships. That's wisdom. That's one of the pillars of wisdom. Wise relationships. Who you hooked up with? Who you connected with? Listen, I can tell you that more times than not, most people will fail because of those they associate with. Are they building you up? Are they drawing you closer to the Lord? Do they encourage you to draw closer to the Lord? Or are they pulling you back? I'm going to tell you, you don't have to worry about the devil, Satan. You can do it to yourself by associating with people that are not going in the direction of God. Ooh, I'm preaching this thing. I'm not getting very many amens, but I can't hear you out there, so I'm going to just say amen to myself. Because I'm just going to tell you, wise relationships will encourage you to draw nearer to the Lord, not pull back. That's wisdom. Number four, planning is another part of wisdom. Planning. The Bible says we should plan, even to plan. I really enjoy being able to plan. Listen to me. When you plan, it makes the execution that much easier. The reason why many people don't use wisdom in planning is because they just shoot from the hip and here we go. Now, I know I probably got some folks around me that say, Pastor, you shoot from the hip. No, I've already got, listen, at 3 o'clock this morning, I was already dreaming about some things that I needed to do in what we're doing right now and making this better so that when the door opens up, it'll be better for our students and kids that are over at the daycare. I just want to let you know, planning pays if you'll plan. It's wisdom. It's wisdom. You want to waste some money? Don't plan. You want to waste time? Don't plan. It will take longer for you to plan. I should teach a whole lesson on this. It will take longer for you to plan than it will for you to probably execute the situation. But wisdom says if you'll plan, you'll count the cost, you'll have the right people around you. Come on, somebody. Here's number five. The fifth pillar of wisdom is learning. Learning. Listen, I've always said to myself, and I've told my wife, my son, and everybody around me, don't ever stop learning. Don't ever stop learning. Always, always be learning. Always be reading. Always be reaching out. You're never too old to be able to learn something brand new. Now, I'm just going to tell you, like when you're 100, I wouldn't advise you to be jumping out of planes, all right, skydiving. But I'm just going to say to you, there's never a time when you can't reach out, because there is a never-ending stream of wisdom that's coming to you, and we stop that when we stop learning. Write these three things down. This will give you an understanding of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding right here. Watch this. Knowledge is information gained through experience, different experiences, reasoning, studying, or an acquaintance. Knowledge. You may stand and talking to somebody and increase your knowledge. Knowledge is a wonderful thing, but knowledge by itself is not going to get you where you need to go. You've got to have, secondly, wisdom. And not just anybody's wisdom, but godly wisdom. Godly wisdom. Wisdom is then the application of that knowledge. How do I apply this knowledge? Okay? You may have the knowledge of a hammer, but if you're trying to unscrew a light bulb, the hammer is not going to help you. You need wisdom. Number three, you need understanding. The Bible says, in all of your getting, get understanding, because knowledge is one thing, and wisdom, how to apply it, is another thing. But understanding helps me to comprehend, to judge, to make an intelligent decision, perhaps in the timing of doing what I'm supposed to be doing in the middle of a crisis. I mean, this may not be, it may be the time for you to buy a house. It may not be the time for you to buy a house. I don't see people that are running out trying to be able to put a lot of cash out right now. There may be some. And if you've got it, maybe you burn it in your fireplace. I don't know, but I'm just going to say to you, most people are not doing that. You need to have knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Now, let me tell you what understanding does. Understanding works for your present, but wisdom plans for the future. I'm just going to say to you right now that this pandemic is going to come to an end at some point. God already has planned it in the seasons of time. And seasons come and seasons go. We talked to you about that in lesson number one of this teaching. What you need to understand is that there is a future that is out in front of every one of us. I don't know what it's going to be like, and surely this pandemic and this crisis is making changes of things right now. And we're probably, every one of us, are going to have to make some changes in our lives. So even if it's a small change, I mean, look at me right now. I have a handful of people in this auditorium, and you that are watching on live streaming right now, and this is something, ladies and gentlemen, that some churches are not prepared to do. Some are not able to do it. Some are able to do it. Some doing it on their iPhone, whatever that it may be. It's changed the entire dynamic of how we do church right now. Now, I can balk at that. I can say I don't understand it. I can say I don't have the knowledge of it. But I'm going to tell you, and this was in that article that I was reading concerning what the effect is on churches, and here's what you need to know, is that a large percentage of the churches that are going to wind up going by the wayside, they don't have to, but many of them have not replenished their congregation with new converts of evangelism and reaping the harvest, so most of them are older congregations that have not the desire or the will to get involved in the knowledge explosion of the internet and live streaming and social media. And as a result of that, we can balk at that, we can shout at the darkness all we want to, or we can bring a light and a flashlight and turn on the live streaming and do what God's called us to do. It may not always look like it's supposed to. It may not even sound always like it's supposed to, but one thing I know, I will not let the darkness of ignorance stop me from exploring God's wisdom in the areas that He's called us to go. Boy, this is good preaching tonight. I hope you're getting this. Are you talking to somebody out there? I hope you are. Come on, talk to me out there. If this is helping you, let me know about this, because I'm just telling you, in the crisis we're in right now, you've got to have these three components working at their maximum capacity. Knowledge of the Word of God, knowledge of what's going on around you, wisdom, how to apply it, and understanding to make the right judgments. Now listen, tomorrow's thinkers will be ready for the future. Let me tell you, give you a little insight about what's going on around here. Because early this morning, I was thinking about this. What's it going to be? I'm already planning and thinking right now. What's it going to be? What's that first service going to be like when everybody's able to get back here? What are we going to do? I was talking to him about the service tonight, some of our technical crew right here. It looks like that things may be opening up, maybe sooner rather than later. I don't know. There may be apprehensions. There may be people that are a little bit apprehensive. They may even be fearful and all that kind of stuff. What's that going to look like? What's it going to look like on that first Sunday? What's it going to look like on the second Sunday? I'm already thinking that way. You need to be thinking. Wisdom looks into the future with an expectation that God is already there. I want you to hear what I just said. Wisdom, if all wisdom comes from God and God is the spirit of wisdom, then God is already in my tomorrow. He's already in my Friday sun. He is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there already. So he knows what's coming. He has in his mind already the vaccine. He already knows the end from the beginning, the Bible says. And I can assure you that anybody who is going to lead in a crisis is not going to just think just for today. I know you got to have understanding for today. You need some wisdom for today. But the thing that's going to cause a lot of people to sink into depression and anxiety is because they have no hope for the future. And they're allowing their mind to think small when you need to be a thinker about tomorrow. Let me show you what godly leaders think like. Here we go. You ready? Number one, they think big. Because God's vision, they know this, that God's vision is always greater than theirs. Secondly, they think about other people before themselves. Because it's never just about me. It's never just about me. In fact, the joy of being able to serve the Lord is to have somebody else serving along with you. Number three, how do godly people think? They think continually. They're never satisfied with the answers just for today. Because I'm going to tell you, here we are. After 7:30 p.m. on this Wednesday night, and whatever happened today is done. I can't do anything about it. So I'm already thinking about tomorrow. I'm already thinking about next week. I'm already thinking about Sunday. That's where preachers do. I can just tell you, and most preachers are already thinking on Thursday and Friday about what Sunday's going to be looking like. What's it going to be? What's going to be next week? What's going to happen? Why? Because we're thinking continually. You need to think with wisdom continually about what's up ahead. The next one, godly leaders think about the bottom line. What are the results? What's the fruit? What's it going to be like? Because I don't want to just do this entire deal and not have any fruit out of it. That's what I look at when I look at you through these cameras right now. I want results out of this. I want to know. That's the reason why I've got people down here that are interacting with you and talking to you and chatting with you online, because I want to see fruit out of this. I don't want to just be standing. I can do this by myself, but it's no good for me to do it just by myself. I want to know, what's the bottom line? Is this changing your life? Are you drawing nearer to God? Is there wisdom that's coming your way? The next thing is continual growth. All godly leaders will keep improving themselves. You haven't arrived. If the Apostle Paul said, I've not yet attained, then neither have you and I. Next, we think outside of the line. Godly leaders think outside of the lines. In other words, you're letting God out of the box that many people put him in. If he's only a Sunday God to you, then Wednesday night is just, you know, not even on your radar. I was coming here and people were jogging and driving and pulling up through the drive-thru at the restaurants and all that kind of stuff. And I get it. Everybody's getting their meals and all that kind of stuff going on. But listen to me. Don't put God in some box and then expect him to be the great big God to get you out of a crisis. Why don't you take the tethers off of God? Why don't you take the restraints off of God and say, God, be God. Just be God. You are greater than I am. You're greater than this pandemic. You're greater than all of this. And if you're going to lead anybody in a crisis, if you're going to turn around to your children, your wife, your husband, whoever it may be, and talk to them, don't serve them up some little God. Who's going to come to church right here if all we've got is a God that when we pull his chain, he's responding? Ladies and gentlemen, he's not a God. He's not our bellhop. He's not somebody that's serving us. We serve him. We serve the greatest of all the greats, the champion of all the world. We serve Jehovah God, who is greater than the pandemic that we're in right now.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, Remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.